Hey everyone, I'm Rob Lewis. I'm a co-host on a podcast called Here We Are SWLA. I got invited by my good friend Brent Woods to sit down and talk with him today about his podcast he's starting. I'm so excited. I'm a huge podcasty fanboy. I love new podcasts. They're amazing.
And that's exactly why I wanted you to do episode zero, per se, right? Of this. You know, what other better way to do it than have somebody that's already done this before?
Well, I'll tell you. Successful. Well, far from successful. I think, if anything, I'm just having fun. But, you know, I think as time goes on, when you have the good times, you're going to have success. That's where it's at. But I will tell you guys, we get into a lot of deep stuff. We're going to talk a lot about Brent's journey of how he came to this realization of finding freedom and to put it into a podcast conversation. So sit back, relax, put your headphones in, get your room nice and relaxed, chill, put you some candles out. Get ready for a good time because it's going to be awesome. It's one of my favorite conversations I've had in a long time, and it's wonderful to be on a podcast again after all this hurricane madness. So,
Yeah, absolutely. That's been a challenge for sure.
For sure, dude. So come on and join us. We're going to have a good time.
Awesome.
What's going on, Brent?
Hey, man. I'm glad that we could do this together today.
Dude, it is such a pleasure to get to hang out with you. Now, whereas I know you personally, for the audience, for everybody else, this being an episode zero, if you will, the test run, why don't you tell the audience about yourself?
Man, you know, there's a whole lot of different hats that I wear, for sure. But I think, you know, the thing that people know the most is that I'm a licensed professional counselor. I have a private practice, Woods Counseling Services. And, you know, I mean, I'm a father, have two kids, about to have three, married. And you know, so you start going on all those hats. But, you know, part of the thing that I wanted to do starting this podcast is just having people come on and be able to just be real and share their stories. Because I really do believe that, you know, by sharing stories, people can really find some freedom in listening to other people.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was really my heart with all of this. And so a little bit about me, I love trying to do things that really helps our community. And I've been brainstorming on ways to just provide a resource for Lake Charles, in Southwest Louisiana and beyond that, right? But I want to provide a resource where people can just listen and maybe get something out of this, you know?
That's very cool, man. You know, podcasting, so you want a podcast, you know, it's cool. I think when I stumbled on it, you know, with Doug, it was such a new concept. And then you realize how many people have been doing it for so long. And you ask, you find that little moment where you say, but should I start a podcast? The short answer is yes. I think everyone should have the opportunity to express themselves. Doesn't matter what level you're at. Doesn't matter what equipment you have. All that stuff, that is your choice, your preference. Where it comes down to is your mission. What is your mission with the podcast?
Right.
Are you entertainment? Are you informative? Are you educational? Or in your case, are you community driven? And I think that in itself is beautiful. And I commend you for that. And I think you're going to have a lot of fun. See, you and I know each other from that aspect of, like, we both love to talk. You know, I love to talk more than you most of the time. So you're like, all right, let's listen to this guy talk for a little bit about life. And you're always very generous with that. But I love the fact that you're going to be talking too.
Right. And I think, you know, that's something to really to pay attention to, because everybody does, you know, have a story. And even me as a counselor, you know, this is not me doing a counseling session.
Yeah.
You know, so this is something where I get to do some things a little bit different with people.
You're finding freedom in the conversation.
Right. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's definitely true.
Go on. Oh, man, I love it. I think it's cool, man. So in this journey, what have you found freedom building a podcast? So, like, look, I mean, even in this, you're finding freedom in expression, right? What's been some of the things that you found to be a challenge for you starting a podcast?
Definitely the gear aspect, right? Getting all this stuff together, right? These microphones, the recorder, all of the things. And I mean, I've been on that journey quite some time for this year, and I've probably spent way too much money on all of the things. but I think
but it's fun, isn't it? It's fun looking and shopping.
Oh yeah, it's fun shopping until you have to pay the credit card.
Paying the bills. It's a thing. It is definitely a thing. But what you've come up with is now, it seems like a seamless way to go about things. I like that. And it kind of frees you up to focus more on the interview and the conversations and things.
Right, right. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, we're doing this by ourselves. There's nobody running sound on the side. You know, it's just us sitting right here having a conversation. So it's really important that you have everything ready, set, go.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's cool because it eliminates the middleman quite literally as far as having editors and stuff, which they're awesome. You can get an editor that can handle camera swapping and everything. But I like your approach. I like your approach that you're creating an environment where, hey, there's a lot of people watching us right now.
Right.
But there's no idea about it.
You know, I mean, you know, I think you've known me for a long time. Yeah. And I tend to just want to do everything by myself, which is a blessing and a curse as well, because, maybe that's not the best term for it. But, you know, I think that's my heart behind it is I want to do things myself if I can.
Well, it's fun. It's a challenge. I wouldn't even say it's a blessing or a curse. It's just the opportunity or the limitation. And I think what you've done is you've made a limitless opportunity for yourself, knowing how everything works. And that's a tinkerer's heart. That's a creative's aspect. This is, in your way, a canvas. And everything you have are the brushes and everything else, if you're going into the transliteral of it. And you're just painting this beautiful portrait of your project. But as far as, like, when you're going to go into these things, I guess what I love is that it's no holds bar. You know, you get to cut loose and have fun.
Right, right. You know, that's the thing. I want to have fun with this, with the people that come on. In the future, I want to just have a fun experience, not only for them, but for the listeners as well.
Mm-hmm. Is there like, so if you're going to begin to do things, how do people, what, like for your audience, like if they want to reach out, do you have any kind of ideas about questionnaires or, you know, like, hey, I would love these questions answered on your podcast. Would you mind talking about, are you going to have like an anonymous way of sourcing that out, you think, before long?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's something definitely to look into. Cool, I mean, man. Right now I'm running everything off of my Woods Counseling Facebook page.
Cool.
Which these will be connected, but this is really also my own thing. So
I like that.
You know, it's going to be a separate entity from only being a Woods Counseling deal. But you know, I will post it and have that sort of as a, you know, advertisement or a place to be able to go and share and talk.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, the topics that I want to cover is definitely counseling related, and also, you know, maybe spiritually related as well.
Right.
But it's not going to be, you know, only from Woods Counseling Services. You know, so I'm not branding that with this because I want to have people come on and not worry about, oh, I'm going to counseling or anything like that, you know.
Right. No, that's, and it's a safe place. It's a safe place.
Right. It's a safe place. You know, it's the Finding Freedom podcast, and it's me as a licensed professional counselor maybe interviewing people, which I feel like I could do a pretty good job at, right? Because I ask questions to people every day. That's literally my job, right? You think of counseling, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, how are you doing today? And then you start asking a bunch of questions. That's not the only thing with the, the interview as far as, counseling interviews and getting to know people. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of questions up front, but that's not really a detailed synopsis of the counseling process.
Well, you know, as you go on and you get more into this, you're going to meet so many cool people. And have so many cool relationships. We had, so quick story from my podcast world that will always be a running joke. We had a guy who came on our podcast who talked about his experience using a Crown Royal bag as toilet paper. And that has been an ongoing joke between us. Like, the best time you'll ever have is with a Crown Royal bag, that velvet awesome bag. So
Sounds interesting.
I'm just going to throw a crazy one out of left field for you. it has been such a fun ongoing joke that I tagged him recently online that I'd taken a picture at this flea market of a whole box full of Crown Royal bags. And it's like, so you're like, okay, wait, why did we bring this up? Because you'll always have stories. You'll always have connection. And I think in a time in society where everyone's divided by social distancing, where everybody is going this different route, the little things, the little humors, the little inside jokes that we all have, we don't talk about. Well, I just brought that up. So, but that comes down to this. You're going to create a connection with people who are going to make connections with your guests.
Mm-hmm.
Your guests are going to make connections with you. And I will love to see and study those relationships you build on your podcast. And I think that's what it's all about, is the unity that you're providing. So, yeah, random side facts with those things. You're creating an atmosphere for people to say, let's get away from the negative. We've been through two hurricanes. We've been through COVID-19.
Yep.
And you know what, dude? I commend you that you'll take the time to free people from that anxiety. Is it, whether you call it a distraction or whether you call it a gift, to say for the next period of time, depending, this will be your freedom to get away from those problems. And you know what, man? I love that. I love that because you're a funny guy. You're also a talented guy. I mean, I've known you as a musician for years. Like, how do you feel like, as your journey has spun out, you know, you started out where to win, like, how has it all helped you? Like, all the things you've done through the years, all of your projects, like, do you feel like it's always going to tie it together, you think, in a way?
I mean, I guess so. You know, I mean, you're looking at a project right behind us over here, the desk that I made, you know, it was a very interesting build. And, you know, another project is right here on the wall right there.
No doubt.
You know, for those of you listening, it's a bass guitar that I ordered all the parts and built it, repainted it and did literally everything myself, soldered the connections, all of it, new pickups, all the wiring, everything, you know. And so I find joy in doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just gives me something to do to put my mind on.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my self-care, you know. So yeah. I think, you know, to answer your question, everything that I've done up to this point has really helped me just get to where I need to be. And I think, you know, the more that I do to continue to move forward is going to get me where I need to be then.
Yeah.
You know, in life, everything that we do, to, you know, grow and learn and even our hobbies, you know, it creates who you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important, not to ever lose sight of that. And, you know, yeah, sure. Times get tough. You know, babies come, got a baby coming, next month,
congratulations,
you know, number three, right? Wow. So I remember number one, you know, it definitely was a challenge.
Yeah.
And so, all the learning that I've done ever since then has, you know, kind of prepared me for where I'm at right now. And I can help other people, you know. And so that's really, you know, in life, you know, you go through life and you do different things and you have to either make a choice. You either, you know, stay in a negative space and just resent with where you're at and only look for, you know, the things that you want. Maybe, oh, I don't have a Lambo yet, so I've not made it, and I get resentful about that. Or you can be grateful for what you have, still strive to be better, but be grateful for what you have and say, you know what, my older minivan is good enough for me.
Well, you know, and that's a cool concept you bring up, because you know, in my job I was doing a while back, I worked with clients helping them with self-sufficiency goals, to say. And they were always thinking, this is too big of a mountain for me in life. I can't do this. I can't do that, this, that, or the other. And I think you probably experienced this with clients as well, but I think the small victories, when you make those smart, short-sighted goals, you don't, there's big goals you focus on, but think about when you built that table, what's the first thing you had to do?
Get everything together.
Yeah,
you know, like
you had
the
to
tools,
find the pieces,
and pieces,
the tools,
and wood, and cut the wood. I mean, it was a very long process. It was a cypress table, so I had to cut everything. And actually, the first thing is I ordered a planer, which was a very expensive piece of machinery. It was like $600 or something like that.
Wow.
You remember that, right?
Oh, I do remember that.
And so, you know, obviously it's going to be a tool that I keep for a really long time. So it was an investment at the time, and I really wanted to do that. And I will probably make some more tables. But I got all this wood from a friend of mine, and it was, you know, just raw wood, been sitting for a long time, sinker cypress pulled out of the river, and just rough cut. So I planed it all down, and you cut it and plane it and cut it and plane it. And the shavings that was left in the yard was just completely, I mean, I don't know. It was a pile of shavings.
No doubt.
You know, so, I mean, as far as the process, amazing, didn't it? You know, you have to really get everything ready and prepare before you start working.
Right.
Because otherwise, you're just going to be spinning your wheels and tripping over your own feet, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, you know, as far as, like, people and what you're going to encounter in life, the general S's, if you will, finding freedom is kind of the same way. Or, you know, when you're talking about the concept of your podcast, I love it. I think it's very unique for what you're wanting to do, because you're telling a story where there's a journey involved. And you know, I've had friends over the years go through many different situations, and they say, well, why couldn't it have turned out better? And unfortunately, in my own mind, I've seen life through an hour and 45 minutes with a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Well, what goes on after that? What bills are paid?
Disney movie mentality.
Exactly. Thank you. You know, copyright strike right now. I'm kidding.
Now, I got to say, I love Disney movies. They're great.
Of course.
You know, but I do think that, you know, I've seen so much in the therapy office that, you know, people have this in the back of their head of, you know, life to be like a Disney movie.
Right.
And that never really turns out that way.
It tends to. And then the cool thing of what you're going to capture with the people you're talking to is, yes, it's a short amount of time. In a, you know, an hour or less, you're going to portray someone's story start to finish of finding freedom. What people may not realize, and something you're clearing up here today, even with our discussion, is that it's pieces that you have to put together. But it's such a journey of when you come to the realization that maybe you're not at the end. You're at the end of the season. That's what's beautiful about it. But that you're going to find freedom. It may take time. But the nice thing is when you can see someone else for a brief period of time discuss their story and be inspired to say, hey, if he could find freedom, if she could find freedom, if they could find freedom, maybe I can too. And I'm looking forward to that, because even in my own life, I've found so many freedoms, yet I still have many to find.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. You got to keep pushing forward.
It's like onions. It's not a Disney movie.
It's like onions.
You know, it's layers. You just peel the layers back.
Peel the layer back. But at some point, you run out of layers, you know, and life doesn't until we're gone.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to be peeling back layers until, you know, we're done here. And that's the thing really to remember.
Some layers are thicker than others.
Some layers are thicker.
And
harder.
Yeah. And
smellier.
Trust me, I got an 11-year-old. They can definitely be on the smellier side when it comes to those stanky boys. But that being said, you know, it grows on and on and on. And that people need hope.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you made a video. Yes, I fanboy on you. I'm sorry. You made a video, and it was talking about everything going on with the hurricane, the aftermath of Laura.
Ooh, yeah. That was
a tough video.
I've had people reach out to me from out of state on that, and another therapist sent me a very long letter of encouragement.
No kidding.
And also just a little bit of a gift, I guess you can say, just to help out. And just, you know, that letter really just brought tears to my eyes, because it was just so heartfelt. And she said that, you know, I watched your video and I could just see the brokenness inside of you, yet you continued to push forward and still try to just be real for these people. And that's really my heart, you know. And I think back about doing that video. You know, the lighting was bad. I was in a bad spot in the house, and I'm sitting here like, oh, I could have did that better. And, you know,
You know, I'm sitting there thinking the same thing when you asked me, and I'm thinking like, no, I'm not going there. He's already done it himself. He's just as much a perfectionist as me.
And it was really echoey because it was in our house, and there's no sound treatment or anything in there. But you know, at the end of the day, the message is really what hit home to people.
Exactly.
And you know, that going back to what you said at the beginning, you know, you can have, you know, great mics, and you can have a great setup, you can have great video equipment, but it's the message that is communicated.
Yeah,
you know, and all of those other things do matter, sure, but I think that the essence of what I did on that video about the hurricanes is really what I want to bring onto here, in that I'm real. I'm real with people. Whoever is on here is just real about where they're at, their struggles.
Yeah.
And I really want to talk about topics that, you know, may not be something that people really enjoy or want to talk about, but need to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I deal a lot of that with my practice, doing work with sex addiction. And that's not a topic that people like to really talk about.
What drew you to that? You know, we've talked about it, but we never really have. And I find this to be the opportunity.
Oh, man.
I know. It's like
pushing me to the limit here. Huh?
You know, it's your first technical episode. This goes to the vault anyway, maybe, potentially, especially now I've asked this question, but tell us about
it's not going to go to the vault.
Anyways, but no, tell me about what was the reason you and because you obviously found this through your practice, through your time of getting ready to be licensed, right?
Oh, right. I was not licensed yet when I was I started getting involved with this and went to a training.
Mm-hmm.
Where I worked at, the Methodist Children's Home of Southwest Louisiana.
Right.
I worked in the outpatient side of things, and we were starting this new program called Family Plus. And essentially, it was really similar to what private practice looks like. But we got some trainings, and so they said that they were going to cover some trainings for us to go to. And one of the things is that there was nobody providing this in Lake Charles or the area. Or the closest person that was really a CSAT is in Houston or Baton Rouge. It was that way then. It's that way now. And, you know, I'm really hoping that that changes in the future because there's people that need the help. But, you know, that was one of the things that drew me to that. Two, you know, I mean, as most guys that grew up in our era, you know, you have a history. And I can't deny that I don't have a history in the past, and you know, that's something that I've definitely struggled with, and know, you know, the ins and outs of how hard it is to really overcome that.
Right.
You know, I mean, you dive into pornography, and it's just something that, you know, kind of grips you, and it's really hard to overcome that. And you know, I find a lot of meaning in helping other guys, but or just people in general, because it's not just guys.
True.
You know, from a therapeutic setting, overcome the grip that has.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's pornography or just sexual addiction in general, which there is a difference. You know.
Okay.
You know, pornography would probably be under sexual addiction, but there's a whole lot of other different things. You know, that people get into, but it usually starts with you know, something small, and then it builds and builds and builds. You know, it's not like you know, I can compare it to alcohol. Whenever you, you know, you start drinking to cope with something, and it's, you know, one beer a night, then it turns into two, then it turns into five, then it turns into a 24 pack, and, you know, then it turns into other things because just alcohol doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything changes. You know, it's such a interesting connotation you look at with your description there. And I know you see this and we've talked about it before, but in the discussion of the table and everything else we've discussed, how ironic is it that a constructive nature and a constructive process is identical to a destructive process? Both start out small and grow.
Absolutely.
And isn't it funny how the productive process you're talking about with building a table or any project you do that gives back is done from a place of, I don't want to say you're looking for accolades, you're looking for people to praise the mighty Brent Woods. No, that's not your goal. But your goal is to give back, and you're looking for people to gain and to see. But when you look at it from the destructive process, what keeps you in that cycle what keeps you going down that dark road, going down to these places, like you said, that just progress and progress because that beer just doesn't do it for you anymore. And you progress your lifestyle deeper. Mm-hmm. It's from the shame aspect. It's from now I'm living a double life. Now I'm in a different mindset. Now I'm, you know, I can lie just enough on the outside and hide this within. But eventually, just like anything else in this world, it shows up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. If we need proof positive for that, consider Twitter, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's the thing. It does show up, right? Yeah. It always is going to show up in one way or another. Now, here's the thing with sexual addiction and pornography, you know, it's really easy to hide that.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps people going for so long. And you know, they come and they finally schedule a therapy session and they're, you know, way, way, way deep into stuff. And, you know, then they come to the realization, hey, I should have probably did this years ago, you know? Yeah. So
sometimes I guess it takes somebody sitting here like you're doing and saying it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get better. And I love that. I love it. What you and people in the counseling field do that really care about their clients and really seek to not normalize the behavior, but normalize the fear and say you're not alone. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it does.
You know, that it's not so damning, if you will, to like, if for me as a kid, whenever I did something wrong, I was afraid of the disappointment from my parents, and that would come into other relationships and other
right.
jobs and whatnot. That's why you find people who cheat or steal or whatever continue to build that. So the point being is, for at one point for me to sit down in counseling and hear them say, that's a normal feeling, but it can get better and you can stop.
Right.
Once you have that epiphany, believe it or not, as simple as that sounds to some, even to myself now, the first time you hear it, it's so freeing.
Mm-hmm.
Say it's okay. So that's one of the things I love about your premise with your podcast, man. And
yeah, you know, and yeah, not to cut you off, but
no,
yeah,
I'll
but,
get it.
But I think, you know, that is, you know, just really reaching to people with where they are and saying, hey, you know, it's okay with where you're at, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and strive for change, sure, absolutely. I don't want to encourage people to just stay stuck forever.
No.
But you know, that shame and that guilt just keeps you stuck.
Yeah.
Over and over, and you know, the end of the day, you know, you're your worst enemy, and so in your head, I suck as a person, and I hear that so often is that, you know, just the people are so critical on themselves when they get into those modes, and a lot of times they end up in therapy. That's one of the main things we work on is self-esteem and self-image, yeah. You know, just working on overcoming that negativity, right?
Yeah.
And that's a huge step.
And speaking of huge steps, you taking a step into this world of podcasting. I love it, man, because this is the kind of opportunity you're going to have. And I can't imagine with some of the people that, you know, behind the scenes, you kind of said, well, I might have this person or that. Just hearing that, these are some great people. Mm-hmm. And I foresee this being such a beautiful opportunity, man. You got a beautiful studio set up here. It's
yeah, I like my guitar background, right?
Right, right.
That's pretty cool.
There's a lot of history with these guitars, man, and there's a lot of history with you playing guitar. In fact, I don't even remember you playing a six-string guitar until a few years ago. Like, just for the people listening, he's got this beautiful red Stratocaster with a mint pit guard. What's the story on that guitar, dude?
Man, I got a picture in my house of me playing that when I was, I think it was in 1992 or 1993.
No kidding.
So this guitar my mom bought in 92 or 93, somewhere around there.
Right, right.
And you know, it came a long way. She never really played it a whole lot. It's just a regular old Mexican Fender Stratocaster.
Okay.
And sat under the bed for a while. So I got it as a gift from her. I was really interested in guitar.
Yeah.
And I tried to start and just got discouraged because I didn't have anybody that really poured into me or anything.
Mm.
And so it ended up sitting under the bed. And then what was it? I think 2009, I started playing bass.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got involved in church and whatnot, started playing bass. And so I don't have that four string anymore. You actually have it.
I enjoy that thing, man. It's such a cool bass.
Yeah, cool story on that is I got interested in music and found a bass, and it was in Port Arthur, used Ibanez four string from a guy, and me and my grandfather went and picked it up. And that was a really good memory. And he supported me through that whole process of learning it, and I drove them crazy. I'd make them listen to me playing along with certain songs and stuff. But I started doing that, and I played bass for a while in church, at different churches. And then I started playing electric after a certain person really believed in me and kind of encouraged. And that's so you're cool. Sitting in that chair right now, you know, so I mean, that's a big reason of,
well, and I look at this acoustic over here too. Wasn't this also another guitar that your mom?
Yeah. Got my mom had that,
beautiful
in 1997. Ovation. They got it brand new. And I really do believe it was a cherry picked guitar.
Yeah.
Because you know, a lot of guitars like that, I've played some other ones and they just don't play as good as that one. So it's one of those, it's like one of a kind. It plays great. It sounds great.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one of those things I'm going to keep for a while.
Oh yeah. That's a lifelong guitar till one of the kids wants it, man. And then you got to make them work for it.
Yeah. And then this one in the middle, this bass, the one that I was talking about earlier, I built, you know, that it's really sentimental because after my dad passed away, he left. I mean, there's just a little bit of money left. Yeah. And that was one of the things is, you know, he right at the end, he was really supportive of me playing. He thought it was great. He thought it was really cool. And so I used some of the last little bit of money, and I bought all the parts and I made that bass. Wow. So, you know, all of these things on the wall have a history.
No doubt. And, you know, that's the best part about it. I think music's a healing factor, isn't it?
It is. And that's one of the things. I really am glad that I made this wall and I hung the guitars up here. Because for me, you know, that's one of the places where I find freedom, you know.
Yeah.
In the context of playing, you know, like doing worship for church, right? That's really my main outlet for playing. But I get a lot out of that. As far as, you know, finding freedom and being able to do something that I love and also worship God at the same time.
Right. I think that's awesome, man. And I think everybody punishes themselves whenever they're at a place in life. I've had friends over the years that said, you know, I can't do this or I can't do that till I accomplish this. Like you said, the Lamborghini, the Lambo. I don't have a Lambo yet. And I think when people start to realize that, don't put yourself in debt doing things, but find happiness. Like, even if your first guitar is a inexpensive pawn shop pick, that's where you're going to self-care, I guess, is the best word for me. And you and I relate a lot on music. That's how we actually became friends. And that's the one thing I guess I've always found freedom in as well. And it's cool, man, to build those relationships. How hanging out at a gig can be like, oh hey, we're friends now. That's kind of cool, man.
It's funny. You know? Our story of becoming friends was my wife telling us that we had to be friends.
Exactly. Hey, you're gonna be best friends with my husband. Cool. Bye. Yeah, Sabrina was awesome like that.
I literally think it was really close to what you just said. I mean,
just about.
Hey, you're gonna be friends with my husband, so you know,
get over it.
Come meet him.
Yeah.
And then I get dragged to the front of the church. I'm like, hey, how's it going?
Right. And then you started playing bass, and dude, like,
yeah, it just went from there. You know,
I think that's cool, man. And I think I hope more people find friendships. Like, you don't get friendships like that very often. And they really have their trials. No. They have their struggles. They have their moments of what ifs and whatnot, but can't be more thankful. And that's why I was so thankful to get to come sit down with you and see how you're developing a beautiful podcast. That's the word that comes to mind. It's beautiful. I look around, I feel so at home and comfortable. Yes, I've been in this building so many times over the years, I guess you could say. But I haven't in this connotation.
No, it's a completely different setup now. Yeah, I mean, it is a music space, but it used to be a LuLaRoe space, right? My wife sold clothes out of here. So, you know, on this wood wall that's behind us right here, there used to be a racks and racks and racks of clothes. I mean, she had, man, I don't even know how many pieces of clothes she had. I think it was
they
like 800.
They weren't here for long because she was just she gaming did great, it, man. You know, she was killing great. It.
And,
yeah.
You know, so this little building that, you know, this kind of offset outside of my house has been so much of a blessing for different people, you know, and I think that, you know, doing this in here is going to continue to be a blessing moving forward for sure.
I think so. I think it's going to be very cathartic too.
Oh yeah.
I think not absolutely. Only for you and your guests, but for your audience, man. It's
yeah, and it doesn't mean I have to always interview in here. I'm going to probably do some that's outside of here as well. So I do
really?
Have a I have a mobile setup. Yeah. I mean, I got this little thing right here sitting in front of us that's recording us is definitely a mobile setup, and I can bring these mics anywhere. And I have a few other mics if I have to do more than two people.
Interesting. As I try to fakely stroke my beard, bumping the mic.
Hit the mic. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. It's like, so if you guys heard that peak, you're welcome. That being said.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as, you know, my story goes, you know, that we talked a little about, you know, the sexual addiction part of it or pornography addiction really is what, you know, through my history was. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, you know, I wanted to share my story from a different perspective.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, I really think that there's a lot of power in people's stories and knowing, you know, like, hey, this guy may be a licensed therapist, but, you know, he's been through stuff, too. You know, so trauma history for me, right? So I went through a lot of trauma as a kid. You know, we talked about this red guitar behind us, 1993. And while, you know, I can look at that picture on the fridge and see, you know, so much fun and so much joy in my face as a little kid, you know, I remember that time being very traumatic too. And, you know, I think 3 years old, you know, life was just real crazy back then. You know, I don't even know what was going on in the mid-90s, early 90s, right? I mean, different kind of life than it was right now, for sure.
Definitely.
You know, but my mom, young, you know, doing her own thing. She cutting hair, you know, still really young. I think she was 19 or 20 when she had me. So,
yeah.
You know, so still really, you know, immature and whatnot. She got into stuff that, you know, I'm not going to go down that road of describing because I'm not trying to throw her under the bus here. But
definitely a trying time, right?
It was a trying time for her as well as for me. But, yeah. You know, I got into situations of abuse just that wasn't really healthy. More for, you know, the guy that she was with. Man, I got beat all the time. And it was just, it was really sad. And you know, I remember this one time, and I can visualize it and remember it just like it was yesterday. And that's when you know that that's really trauma. I remember getting dropped off my great grandfather, who gave me the property that we're on, and my grandparents dropped me off at the little trailer park that we lived in. And I remember, you know, just not wanting to go, and I was crying and I guess being just really hard. And I remember crying in that front window and then getting beat until I stopped crying. Mm. And hurt to sit down, all of it. Like, yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember seeing my great-grandfather's face looking in through the back glass of the back seat of the old square body Lincoln Continental car or whatever it was, right? But he was just crying, sobbing. And I remember his face to this day. You know, and I think it's one of those things, you know, and that's not the only time that, you know, it was really bad, but I remember that one specific time. And, you know, I think that he was just heartbroken that he couldn't stop it. You know, but looking at that, you know, I'll never get to know. I mean, he's gone. He passed away in 2000. So it's been 20 years, which I cannot believe. But, you know, I really do believe, you know, he saw that and knew he couldn't control that there. And in that time, but I think that was a big part in his decision of leaving me this place. Yeah. 'Cause he knew that, you know, I needed somebody. I needed some help, and it has truly been a blessing to be on this property here, yeah. and live out here where I grew up.
Yeah, you know? It gives you a sense of
identity,
I guess, to a degree. As far as like, no matter what, it always comes back to, this is home.
It is home. You know, and with the hurricanes, it's been a real challenge.
Oh no,
to not. not want to leave and go, you know, but at the end of the day, it's really, you know, it looks completely different than what it did.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Even when I was little, I mean, you've been here, you know, recently, but you know, when I was little, it was just basically a forest and pine trees everywhere, no tallows, no, you know, it was just open, clear. And, you know, now it's just junk trees everywhere and big trees down and, you know, a pain.
You know, it's ironic you say that. I'll tell a quick story from my life of guilt. You know, since we're talking about finding freedom, let me find freedom and tell you one of my quick stories. When I was a kid, I was scared. My dad had 40 acres. We called it Mama's 40. And we'd go back there in those 40 acres of pine. And I was scared to death. I get lost all the time. And I would always say, God, take all these trees away. You know, in my teens, I had family that was in debt. And so my grandfather bailed them out by cutting all of our trees down to sell them. So he took my dad's trees to pay off his siblings' debt. Because my dad just never ended up in debt. He always took care of himself and us. So my papa did that and didn't give my dad anything.
Right.
And I always felt guilty because at that age, I thought, did God answer my prayer? And I saw how depressed my dad was. And it always made me think of, like, he lost a part of his generation in that, just like you're dealing with now. And I think when we go through losses like that, like you losing these trees, these identifiers, these landmarks, it's so difficult to find a new one. What my dad ended up doing, he did something he'd always wanted to do. He made a half-acre pond, loaded it with bass and catfish, said this is going to be for my grandchildren one day. Now we don't live on that farm anymore.
It was a great pond. I've seen it before.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Yeah,
yeah. But you know, it's a legacy now for someone else when they decide to live there.
And it's the memory that you always have.
Yeah, you know that, and the lesson that comes with that, that no matter what in life, we're going to encounter loss.
Yep.
We're going to even lose identity. We're going to lose a part of ourselves in some way. I think we've all experienced that. If you haven't yet, you know, I hope it's not as hard a blow as we both have discussed that we've been
right,
dealt.
Right.
But you'll create new landmarks. You know, right. You built this beautiful house up here and laid the foundation and did everything for it on a piece of property that's changed so much, and it's changed even more with the hurricanes, which wasn't my choice. But I feel like as you go forward, you'll find new ways to create new landmarks, new opportunities, and it'll be a new chapter. It's kind of like ironic how it takes cutting down a tree, sending it through all the machines and everything to create the paper that we write our chapters on in life physically.
Yep.
No different than it takes life experiences of things being torn down and converted to create an experience that creates a whole new chapter for us, nonetheless, through life experiences in its own right. But, you know, Brent, it's, I know we're winding down to kind of an end point, but what's something you would like to communicate that you're hoping to drive home with finding freedom?
I'm trying to drive home that, you know, everybody has a story, and I think it's important to, just tell that story, you know, and I'm sure that I'll have more episodes where I can maybe tell my story more in detail. You know, I just kind of hit a few points, but you know, it's a lot of things that people didn't really know about me too.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that in the future, you know, I'll definitely get to that, but I think, you know, just be encouraged and if you, you know, follow this and subscribe to it, listen to it, you know, my heart is to, not only share other people's stories, but that it can really be a conversation that can be applicable to you, and that you can maybe get something out of it. Just learning about how somebody coped with the situation, so that you can maybe better cope with that situation. You know, you'd be surprised how many times I tell stories inside of a counseling session, and it really helps people cope. You know, if you really think of the Bible, you know, how's the Bible mainly written? In story form.
Yeah.
Right. And so I connect with that to a whole different level. Because you're not telling somebody what to do. You're telling a story about how somebody came through, or you're telling a story about how somebody conquered, and whoever's listening can apply that in whatever way they need to at the time.
Right.
But you know, whether they do that or not, you know, the choice is up to them. And so you put the ball in their court. And so, you know, that's what I encourage for the listeners here. You know, the ball will be put in your court. And I'm really thinking that, you know, every episode, I'm sure that you can get at least something, you know, and not only just, you know, listening to interesting conversation or, you know, somebody from the community, but, you know, just really get one thing that can make you better as a person.
That's awesome, man. I look forward to it personally. Now, so how are you going to promote this social media wise? Like what's going to be ways for people to follow you that you're looking forward to?
Right now I'm going to promote it on my personal page and my Woods Counseling Facebook page.
Cool.
I have not made another page for Finding Freedom, but I have that. I'm thinking about it, you know.
Yeah.
As of today, right now, you know, I'm still in the preparation phase, even though, you know, I'm got most of my stuff ready.
Very cool.
You know, I'm still preparing all of that. So that's kind of my idea.
Well, I think it's going to be fantastic. And once you get your RSS feed and everything, that'll go to your major podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Apps. Absolutely. And whatnot. So mm-hmm. I definitely recommend that if you're watching this, definitely subscribe to the podcast too. You never know what you're going to hear when you listen to it.
Yeah,
as well as watch it.
I love YouTube. YouTube is great, but
yeah.
But at the end of the day, man, I was doing it yesterday. I was listening to a podcast with my headphones in, doing some work outside. It's easy. You don't have to watch it. You can just listen. You know, just like you listen to music. So I think that's really a really great thing.
That is a Doug Ducey if I ever heard one. That guy will have, just to tell a quick story, he'll have a queue. If you saw this guy's queue of podcasts, that's why when I say I know little about podcasts compared to Doug, my co-host on our podcast, that guy knows podcasts. He has over hundreds upon hundreds queued up in his thing.
Yeah,
so
that doesn't surprise me about him for sure.
Yep, and it would blow your mind at all the different styles.
Yep.
But man, I'm looking forward to adding this one to my queue. And I'm looking forward to where it's going to go.
As far as a schedule, I don't know yet. I'm hoping to do weekly, but we're also expecting a new baby. So it's probably going to be, it might be every other week for a while.
Yeah.
I'm one of those flexible people. So, you know, I'll try to be as consistent as I can, but
yeah. But hey, the best part is you are going to be putting out content and it's going to be fantastic. And I look forward to it, man.
Cool.
Well, you guys can find Brent and his future guests at Finding Freedom Podcast. So go check it out.
Absolutely.